Well, I'm not sure a president can fix it. I certainly think a president can point to it and create awareness about it and hopefully mobilize our people. But our culture is not, you know, the president doesn't run the culture. The culture is made up of families and parents and communities. And as a nation, we need to take responsibility and confront this issue and address it. You know, not every issue before America has a federal government solution, but I certainly think it's helpful to have a president that recognizes it and calls attention to it.
So how do you call attention to it as president? How would you do that?
You point out the fact that what we need to be asking ourselves is, why are there young men and women, for that matter, in America who don't value human life and therefore are willing to shoot up a house and kill whoever's in there, even if there are children in there? And, of course, on the mental health issue as well. I mean, there are some of these acts that are driven by mental health issues, and we need to destigmatize that. It needs to be, it's not something people should be ashamed of. It's a medical condition, unlike any other condition. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong, but I think awareness about ensuring that people who are experiencing mental health issues receive the treatment and the counseling that they need before it can escalate into something worse.
Part of the executive order was including $500 million investment to increase access to mental health. It's something you mentioned there, as do many in your party, as something that could help prevent shootings like those the president mentioned. Why would you overturn that part of the executive order as well?
Well, you don't need that whole executive order to help with mental health. If there's something worthy in there that has to do with mental health, we'll look at that. And we'll, you know, obviously I need to see the details about how it will work and ensure it's not duplicative. But helping people get access to mental health care is not something that's unconstitutional, but violating the gun rights of Americans in a way that would do nothing to prevent these acts of violence that we say are the impetus for these acts is something that I will oppose.
The National Center for Children in Poverty say 1 in 5 kids grow up in poverty, and there's an adverse effect to that has on children. One of the stories that you tell in Iowa that seems to really resonate with crowds has to do with your parents immigrating from Cuba, working hard so that you can have a better life. What innovative policy solutions would make it easier for children to succeed and to get out of poverty under a Rubio administration?
Well, I would begin by reexamining all of our anti-poverty programs and ensuring that they cure poverty, not simply treat its pain. I've called for a flex fund in which we take all of the federal anti-poverty money, put it into a flex fund, and then make them available to states and local communities so they can design innovative programs that get to the root of poverty and help cure it. The only requirement for receiving these funds for an individual recipient will be that they either have to be going to school or working. The second is I'd help people that are struggling, that are working, but don't have enough money to make ends meet. That's why I've called for an increase in the per-child tax credit. I've also called for innovations in how we pay for higher education and the availability of self-directed learning so that non-traditional students also have flexible options available about how they can go back to school so they can acquire the skills they need for a better-paying job. I've called for increases in vocational training, particularly opening up Pell Grant, federal financial aid to high school students, so that their high school doesn't offer quality vocational training. They can go to high school in the morning and trade school in the afternoons and graduate certified and ready to work as welders or car mechanics, airplane technicians, good-paying jobs as opposed to languishing or even dropping out.
So for those that are not in school or working, they have a hard life and can't get to school or they're having a hard time finding a job, how do you help those people out?
Well, the programs would help them. That's why I think it needs to be driven at the state and local level. I mean, the key to these anti-poverty programs shouldn't just be to help people eat and pay their utility bills. It should also be to get them into school. For someone who has to work full-time, the key is to ensure that they're acquiring skills while they're working that makes them more employable in the future and find a better-paying job.
Speaking of innovative programs, some in Iowa see innovative policies put forward that have helped Iowa with both the production tax credit for wind energy and solar energies. These have both been extended in the omnibus bill. They've been good for Iowa energy innovation and for jobs. Should they stay?
You won't need them under my tax plan, because under my tax plan, every business will be able to immediately expend every dollar they invest in that business. So the credit won't be as necessary, because now whatever money you put into a new wind facility or a biofuel facility, in that same tax year, you're going to be able to write off that expense. We're also going to lower the tax burden on all businesses, including small companies, S corporations, LLCs, partnerships. They're going to have a flat tax rate of 25%. So we're going to even the playing field so that there is no disparity between the traditional fuel sources, the oil companies and others, and the new sources. I want us to lead the world in all of it.
What role have you had that makes you fit to be commander-in-chief? I mean, being a senator is a much different job than being president of the United States, and some of your critics point to your age.
Well, obviously there are people that have lived longer than I have who are running for president, but none of them have more experience on national security than I do. Over the last 5 years, whether it's foreign relations or intelligence committee, no one's done more work on these issues than I have. And I've achieved results. For example, just 2 weeks ago, I was able to get additional sanctions imposed on Hezbollah, and I did that in a bipartisan way.
We're asking all of the candidates to give us 2 to 3 words to describe Iowa. What are your 2 to 3 words?
Realistic but optimistic. I find the people of Iowa, like I do around the country, they're very realistic about our challenges. They know America is headed in the wrong direction. They sense that we're a great nation in decline. But I also think people in Iowa are hopeful about the future. They believe and they know that if we do what needs to be done, if we go back to the principles that made America great and apply those principles to the unique challenges of the 21st century, America has a chance to be greater than it's ever been.
Well, Senator Rubio, thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you so much.